Okay, this is really funny. I had the most incredible dream last night. And when I woke up this morning, I was in like a cold sweat. It was horrible. Oh my God. So here's the dream. You won't believe this. Very, very weird. Very, very weird. So in my dream, this orange-faced, weird-haired butthead is actually elected as president of the United States. I'm serious. I'm not kidding you. I am not kidding you. And as if that dream. Then I got up to pee, and then I went back, just fell back asleep, even though I was dripping in sweat. And so this dream continued, and it was actually in this dream, becomes inaugurated and actually becomes the president. The guy has no idea what he's doing. He's mentally ill. He's demeaning. He's just, it's the last person anybody would want in the White House. This was one sick dream. Oh, man. Thank God that was a dream. Oof, that was close, huh?
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
What a horrible dream.
It's
a
whatever.
Nightmare. It's a nightmare. Oh my God. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Can you believe that nightmare? Unbelievable.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much. Oh, watch out for that step. Uh-oh. That was stupid. Welcome to the program. How you doing? I'm Ron Van Dam. If we haven't crossed paths before, I guarantee you we'll never do it now. I've been doing this since I was a fetus. I don't know where the hell you've been. But anyway, you're here now, so that's fine. Welcome. Relax. Just sit down. Take it easy. Take a load off your feet, which would be your entire body, and just take it easy. None of my New Year's resolutions have come to fruition. Absolutely none of them. As a matter of fact, I've done the opposite. I've made everything worse. That was not my intention. That was not my resolution. But that's what's happened. And I apologize for that. Here are some of my resolutions, and here are all of them that I haven't done. My first one, and I've discussed it before. What haven't I discussed with you before? Was to eat differently, change my lifestyle, only eat salads, and not iceberg lettuce and that light green stuff, but the deep green stuff, the spinach, the kale, the spring mix kind of crap, things that rabbits eat. And that was my resolution. And I wouldn't put any real salad dressing on, and just like oil and vinegar and maybe a little bit of salt. Although salt isn't good for you either, but a little bit of salt, who's going to know? Maybe a little pepper. That's always good for you. And that would be it. And I'd throw some vegetables on it, like some carrots and, you know, green peppers, red peppers, that kind of thing. And, you know, and a tomato. And that would be my major meal. So that was my resolution. I was going to have that. And then for dinner, I would also have that, like a rabbit, but I would also have like a little bit of protein, like a bean. I would have a bean. And I figured, because the bottom line is, and everybody says it and everybody knows, and it's absolutely true, the less calories you put in the body, you will lose weight. There's just no question about it. It's just that my mind says, screw that, let's have a party. That's what my mind says. My body says, no more parties. No more parties, Ron. No more food parties. No more drinking parties. Let's get it together for a little while at least. Just as a cleanse. Just think of it as a cleanse, Ron. Ron can't think of anything as a cleanse at all. He just loves to eat and he loves to drink. So this is rough. So that has not to come to fruition at all. I'm eating more bread than ever. I'm even starting to have a little more sugar than I usually. It's just not working out. So resolution number one, not happening. Resolution number two, to exercise a little bit every day. Now, I walk my dog every single day, rain or snow. No, not snow, and actually not rain. All right, not every day. But I do walk the dog every once in a while. I do it every day. No, you don't. Stop lying to them. What do they know? If I lie to them, what are they going to do? Check it out? What kind of documents are there to check out to make sure that I walk my dog every day? There are none. They just believe you or they don't believe you. Okay, I walk my dog every day. Okay, fine, good. But I need more exercise than that. So in my basement, I cleared out an area and I built myself a gymnasium because I know damn well I'm not going to put pants on and go to a gym because that involves putting pants on. And putting pants on, it's like, okay, this leg and then this leg, which I just learned, you don't put your pants on over your head. Just learned that this year. But I'm not going to get dressed to torture my body. Come on, I can do that in my own home. So this little area in the basement, and by the way, I have to walk down to the basement, and that sometimes is a chore. That's how lazy I am. Ron, you have your own gymnasium? Yeah, I put one together in the basement. Do you go down frequently? No, it's a whole floor down. And then after you work out, I got to walk up the stairs to the main level of the house. It's just so much for me. It's so much. God. So I found this little exercise equipment. I've had exercise equipment all my life. I just never throw it out because it's too big. No one will take it. So I've collected it. So I washed it off. I cleaned it down. And I made a nice area, put up an incredible sound system because you need to motivate during exercise. And the only way to motivate is with music. So I put incredible sounds. It took me like 3 days to put the sound system together. It's impeccable. It's impeccable. Now I'll just go down there and sit in a chair and listen to the music on the sound system. I won't move at all. So resolution number two. Totally not working out, although I did develop a really nice sound system and a rash. Resolution number three was to do everything immediately. If I get an idea in my head or I feel like doing something, do it right away. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. I've got a list of about 20 things that I want to do, but I will never do them. And so that didn't work out. Resolution number three didn't work out. Number four, be nicer to people. I am nice to people. I'm a sweetheart. Man, if you know me personally, I mean, I don't want to gloat or brag or anything. I'm a freaking sweetheart. On the radio, I'm a grumpy man. But that's a part that I play. That's the part. I'm really a sweetheart. But Ron, show people more that you are that sweetheart and that you don't have this incredible dislike of other human beings. Show that to people. That's an endearing quality, Ron. Even on the radio, that's an endearing quality. Show it. Be proud of it. That's resolution number four. Well, screw that. That resolution didn't work. Stupid resolution. It's just not working out. But I'm still happy. I spent yesterday's show talking about the only thing here is to be happy. That's the whole deal. When you get up every morning, find the best thing you can find and go with it. Whether you're sick, unhealthy, depressed, lonely, penniless, whatever it may be, somewhere in some corner of somewhere, of some facet, there is a shining moment of happiness somewhere. Go for it. Hopefully, you can find some happiness in this program. Probably not. But possibly, somewhere, I don't know. But you gotta find some happiness, man. Somewhere. And if you don't have it, make something. Do happy people stuff. Be happy. Be a happy person. All right, let's move on. How you doing? You good?
Yes, of course you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
Why even try? Why even try? I don't know. I have no idea. Hey, welcome to the program. I do this every single weekday. Wow. Make me a habit. I want you to sit down in front of a sewing machine and make me a habit. I love those damn things with the robe thing and then the white thing that you put over your head. You know, a lot of religious people wear the habit. Not the hobbit, the habit. Want to get into the habit, if you know what I mean. Oh, that sounds disgusting. Oh, that's going to bring some letters. Hey, if you want to reach me, by the way, and please don't, you can do the email system of America. I bought Hillary Clinton's old server, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. It's hacked a lot, but it's pretty cool. It's Ron Van Dam Show at gmail.com. When I say it's, that's not part of the address. I'm just going to say the address and nothing else. Ron Van Dam Show at gmail.com. Contact me if you'd like to be a guest on the program. Maybe you've written a book. You've done something incredible that other people really don't care about. Or if you have a topic that you wish me to expose, analyze, make fun of, whatever, contact me there. Ron Van Dam Show at gmail.com. And of course, tell your friends to listen to the show because that's how I get paid. Please. And we're available on the Podbean Network. We're available on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, and little radio stations all across the country, especially in the New England area. My good friends, thank you. Okay. Good. Thank you. Oh, also, Facebook page. God, I paid a lot of money for that for no reason. It's New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show on the Facebook. There's actually no point of going there, but if you go there and like the show or something, again, financially it helps me out. Thanks. The only reason I really need money is to support my bottled water habit. That's all. I actually don't drink bottled water. I buy the Poland Spring thing in the big gallon jugs. Then I pour it into a glass. But I don't drink water out of one of those plastic bottle things. No, I don't do that. Because I don't know where that plastic has been. Apparently that stuff is recycled. And it could have been a piece of dog shit at one point. I really don't know, so I don't do it that way. Boom, 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 boom. I did an interview last week with two people from the Water Commission. Actually, one person from the Water Commission and another person from the Pure Filter Water people. And it was very interesting. I don't know if you've heard that or not. It was January 11th, if you want to go back and hear that interview on any of the sites that I mentioned previously. It was fascinating. And it wasn't so much how a town or city treats their water or how much they clean the drinking water before they pump it to your face and your house, but it was the water traveling through the pipes, which really grossed me out. I never think about that. All I think about is when I turn my faucet on, freaking water comes out, and I often don't think beyond that. But when you do and you realize the miles and miles and miles and miles of pipe that it goes through first, and it's not new pipe, it's pipe that's been sitting there since 1627, Columbus laid pipe, and a lot of pilgrims, and some Indians too. He was an equal opportunity pipe layer. These pipes have been around forever. A lot of them have lead. Those that don't probably have leaks in them somewhere or little rats crawling through the pipes. I have no idea what the hell's in there. Probably bacteria growing or dirt. I have no idea. And then it's pumped into my house. So it's not what the city or the town does with the water. It's what happens to it when it goes through all these pipes. I mean, the water treatment plant in my town is not across the street. It's miles away. I don't even think they have one. I don't know. And what's to stop an employee with the water department dropping his pants and peeing in the pool? And I say his pants because women wouldn't do something like that. Women would not do something like that. First of all, they can't control the direction of their urination. Men can. So it becomes more of a game. But I don't think women would do that. But a man would. A man, some pimply-faced teenager getting back at his neighbor. He's going to drop his pants and pee into the water treatment pool. I don't know what the hell's wrong with me either. I don't know. But the point is, when you turn on that faucet, I cannot be assured that every drop of water that comes out is totally clean and totally pure. I cannot be sure of that. So I do the bottled water thing, which is also stupid because there's probably some guy named Bubba sitting in a large bathtub somewhere in Maine, totally butt naked, just filling jugs up as he's sitting naked in the bathtub. That's apparently what really happens. And then Poland Spring says, good enough, let's cap it. No, they don't do that. Poland Spring is a reputable company. I don't know them personally. I don't know Mr. Spring. I think that's his name. His first name is Poland, which is odd, but apparently... I'm trusting the guy. Isn't it interesting that we tend to trust the water that has a classier name? You know, if it's a French water like Perrier or one of those things, one of those French water things that costs like $7 for a bottle, well, that must be good. It's expensive. It must be good and pure. Yeah, okay, fine. All right, then I'll charge you $100 a gallon for my water, and that's definitely pure, right? Yeah. Sure it is. My general manager is a pimply-faced teenager who drops his pants. Okay, come on. Why am I talking about this? Did you make me talk about this? Did you bring this up? Stop bringing up things like this. It's embarrassing to you. I went to Panera Bread yesterday. It's always an experience at Panera Bread. I've talked about them before. Panera Bread confuses me. I don't understand what it is. I know it's a place that you go to eat, and all they have is sandwiches and soup. I used to think that was stupid until the donut places did well, because all they have is donuts and coffee and a couple of sandwiches that nobody eats. And yet it's a gold mine. So I guess sandwiches and soup is not a bad idea, I guess. but I don't understand it. I don't get it. Panera Bread, it's a bread thing. I don't know why they put the word bread in everything. Panera Bread is obsessed with bread. And I don't know if Panera knows this, but people aren't supposed to eat a lot of bread. It's not a good idea. There's a lot of carbs in this stuff. And it's not thin sliced bread. It's hefty, thick, coagulating bread. But somehow people still go to it. They are bread obsessed, this place. Everything has bread in it. Even the employees are made of bread. It's weird. You walk into the place and there's a line of people. Apparently other people like bread as well. And they're standing, they're salivating bread. They don't realize that bread comes from other places too. You don't have to go to this Panera place to have bread. It's not the only place in the world that has a sandwich. The Earl of Sandwich, by the way, his first name was Panera. So you stand in line and you look at this board that has all the possibilities of a sandwich, and there aren't that many. It's very creative. It's roast beef on bread, or it's ham on bread, or it's chicken salad on bread. It's something on bread, which I guess is what a sandwich is. It's just this place is just bread crazy. You're next. You walk up to the counter, and the person says, "What would you like?" And you have 5 seconds or less to name the protein that you want put on your bread. You don't have a choice of anything else. So I said, Black Forest ham, please. To be honest with you, I don't know what a Black Forest ham is. Is this a pig in Germany? I don't know what this is. I know where the Black Forest is, but I don't know what it has to do with ham. I don't think the Black Forest is overtaken by incredibly tasty pigs. I don't get it, but I say it. Black Forest ham, please. And she says, okay, fine. You get a side with that. I said, okay, what are my choices? This is incredible. She says, a bag of chips, which is something I can get at the 7-Eleven for like 50 cents, and is not really very healthy for you. I can get a bag of chips or an apple. Excuse me. an apple? I mean, what are we? Are we in junior high school here? I get an apple? Well, an apple's very good for you, Ron. What? What planet are you on? What's my other choice? I get this. My third choice, and this is incredible, is bread. Wait a minute. I'm going to have a sandwich with your bread. I'm going to put Black Forest ham between two incredibly huge slices of bread. And you're telling me that as a side, I can also get bread. You people need to move on. You need to offer maybe, how about a pickle, the pickle would be made of bread. I forgot. Bread? Excuse me, I'm already getting bread. Why would I want a side of bread? And yet I see all these people getting a side of bread. I'll have bread. What do you want with the bread? Bread. Do you not have enough bread? How about two sides of bread? I'm in a bread mood. Now, if you don't want a sandwich made of bread with some bread on the side, you can also get some soup. Oh, that's great. I'll have a bowl of soup. Okay. What kind of bread? Excuse me? Well, we have bread bowls. Are you serious? You have bread bowls? Yes, we do. We don't use bowls. If you haven't noticed, everything here is involved with bread. I'm surprised they don't have bread pudding. That would work. No, they serve soup in a bread bowl. I've been around. I like to cook. I consider myself to be somewhat of a chef. something doesn't work with a bread bowl, and that is that it's made of bread. If you put liquid on top of bread, it usually leaks, unless they use this flux seal thing from the commercials where you can't leak. You know, you can cut a boat in half and tape it up with the flux tape and the boat won't leak. Maybe that's what they use. Maybe they spray it with the stuff on the bottom of the bread bowl. I will never have soup in a bowl of bread because it makes no sense. Bread is not a solid thing. Bread is porous and there's holes in the thing. So I'm not going to do it. Sometimes I'll just sit there at the table at Panera Bread and watch other people eat the various forms of bread because it's just bread amazing. It's just amazing the stuff they do with bread. And yet my doctor says, Ron, you got to cut back on the bread. Why don't you make a phone call to the Panera people and tell them that? I mean, true, they offer an apple, but the apple is surrounded by bread. It's just weird place. It's the Paneras. They're crazy. And some people actually order the bread to take home. What is your fascination with this shit? I mean, why have you ever had bread before? Is it amazing to you that bread exists and that there's a store that has bread? I got a little tip for you, those of you that go to Panera Bread for the bread. Bread's available in supermarkets now. There are entire aisles of it. And all the supermarkets also have their own like bakery section where you can buy loaves of fresh bread, Italian bread, French bread, Portuguese bread, Polish bread, Jewish rye. I mean, there's tons of different breads. You don't have to go to Panera to see what bread looks like. I've seen pictures of poor people during certain horrible times in Russia, in the Soviet Union, standing in line for a loaf of bread, a line that whips around the Kremlin. And I guess, and thank you for your service, I guess that the wonderful thing about this country is that we have bread available everywhere, including places like Panera, where it's just bread and it's bread after bread after bread. A lot of bread.
If you want it, here it is. Come and get it. Make your mind up fast.
A lot of bread.
If you want it, anytime I can give it. But you better hurry, cause it may not last. You better hurry, cause it's going fast. If you want it, here it is.
Come and get your bread. Oh my God. I don't know. Okay, we're going to speak now to Ken Hevert. He's with Fidelity Financial. We've spoken to him many times before. Hey, Ken, how are you?
Hey, Ron, good morning. I'm doing terrific. How are you doing?
Wonderful. Ken Hevert is Senior Vice President of Retirement at Fidelity Investments. You're not retired, but you're Vice President of people that are. No, that doesn't make sense either.
that is my job. My job is to make sure that people who are trying to get to retirement are getting the help and investment support that they need. And for people who are living in retirement, we're helping them manage their money and grow it and generate cash flow.
Well, that's what Fidelity do. So there you go. It is the new year, and we make resolutions and we do things to make our year better than the prior year, which shouldn't be too difficult to do. So we make resolutions of all types. And what do you feel are Americans' top three financial resolutions for the new year?
Going into 2017, the top three are to save more, to pay down their debt, and to spend less, manage their spending, right? And these haven't really changed a whole lot since we started this study 8 years ago. But what has changed is that when people were really worried about the economy, they were really worried about their jobs and, you know, financial security, there was much more focus on paying off their debt, curbing their spending, managing their expenses. Fast forward to where we are right now, people are feeling much more optimistic about the future. They feel better about where they are today than where they were a year ago. And so there's a lot more focus on saving in two ways. Number one, people are much more focused on saving for long-term goals like retirement. And number two, people are focused on building up a safety net for short-term emergency expenses.
Yeah. Saving is weird these days, though, because the bond market is weird, and the stock market is, like, way too high, and nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow with anything, so it makes the market unstable. So how can people feel, like, confident that they know what's going to happen?
You know, it's a terrific point because, you know, underneath this optimism are concerns.
Sure.
And the two things people are, you know, most concerned about are, number one, you know, an unexpected expense.
Right.
And of course that can cover a lot of different ground. And then the other is the economy, but the economy, you know, people are, I think, less concerned about the U.S. economy, more concerned about, you know, sort of like global economics and global, you know, politics, right? So getting back to your point, this is what I think is really interesting. This time last year, people were asking me, hey, the market, this is the worst market we've ever had to start a year. Does it still make sense for me to put money in my IRA and look where we ended up?
Right.
And now, similar type of question, the market's, you know, kind of at an all-time high.
Yeah.
Does it still make sense? And here's what we see. It's about your time horizon and it's about your risk tolerance.
Yeah.
So if you've got, you know, 5+ years and you can diversify your portfolio between stocks, bonds, and cash and manage that properly or have someone help you manage that properly, you know, you're going to be able to ride out these short-term, you know, dips and ultimately benefit from, you know, multiple asset classes. So that's really the key.
Okay. So there are opportunities. And, you know, I've always said, we've spoken to Fidelity many times before in this program, and I've always said that, you know, it doesn't cost you anything to sit down with one of your people here and just, you know, this is where I'm at. This is what my income is. This is what my goals are. Can you help me find a path to make this happen? I mean, I don't know why people just aren't like lining up in front of the door of financial experts and saying, help me out.
Well, I think the reason is because they think it's a lot harder than it really is, or they think that it's going to require, you know, kind of a big out-of-pocket, you know, outlay, when in fact, you know, people who make financial resolutions would say that it's actually easier to keep a financial resolution than it is to keep, you know, any of the other sort of personal resolutions
make. That's true. I haven't lost weight in a long time. So
I'm in that group too. So now, you know, and hey, listen, how cool would it be if your goal is to lose weight? Like if you could automate that, you can actually do that. If you feel like you're falling behind on saving for retirement and you know, you're now in your 50s like I am, and you kind of say, boy, I guess I got to increase my savings. You can increase your savings by 1% automatically, whether it's coming out of your paycheck or you're moving it, you know, from a checking account to an IRA. You can automate it, and guess what? You know, you've hit your goal. You've hit your resolution to save more. Not quite like that with other things. You know, you can't automate, you know, quitting smoking or whatever.
Correct. Let's talk about retirement, because that does concern people. People are living longer. And retirement is now something that is necessary. Is it ever too late to tackle this problem? or concern?
No, it's not too late at all. You know, we think that there are a number of sort of key decisions that, you know, people need to make, and some are in their control, some aren't. Things like, you know, when you retire. Mm-hmm. But, you know, first of all, people need to understand that, you know, if you look at, for example, Social Security, if you really make a good decision about when and how you're going to claim your benefits, you can, you know, increase the amount of payment that you're getting from Social Security. So there's things like that. And this is, you know, money that we already have, you know, set aside, so to speak. But to your point, we are living longer. And people, their number one concern people have about retirement is outliving their money. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to outlive their money, and nobody wants to be a burden on other people. Mm-hmm. And so what we find is that people do tend to live much more conservatively early in retirement. Yes. And, you know, in a way that's a little bit unfortunate, because you have health and you've got the time to do a little bit more. But when you are finally retired, you can continue to invest for growth. You can invest to generate income, and you can also invest to protect, you know, what you have. And to your point earlier, putting together a retirement income plan that sort of addresses the things that matter the most to you. Mm-hmm. So let's say longevity is something that's in your family. I'm worried about, you know, how do I make sure I don't outlive my assets? There are strategies and approaches that you can use that really do a good job of managing that risk.
Yeah. Well, yes, that's true. I guess the bottom line is call an investment expert and discuss, because everybody's situation is a little bit different than the next, and we don't know this stuff. It's like performing open heart surgery on yourself. You know, go to an expert who knows how to do this.
Yeah, I think that's really well said. I do think that, you know, people will find that when they speak with a financial consultant or an investment professional, that it is more of a consultation.
Sure.
They get to, you know, the individuals get to do more of the talking. But even before that, if your listeners go to fidelity.com/resolutions, we've created a special report that, you know, kind of breaks down this whole idea of, like, what are the right goals for you in your household and your family? What are some tips for making it easy to stick with those goals? And then what is also really important, just some educational information.
Sure.
So that, you know, people don't feel, you know, scared to have those conversations. I think when people feel that they've got a little information, they're much more comfortable contacting an advisor.
It doesn't make any sense why people don't do certain things. It's like when you refinance your home, the interest rates are like 2% and you're paying 9%. Why would you not do that? It's just, as people are weird. Anyway, I'm not here to judge. Okay. So, contact Fidelity, go to the website, and they'll take care of you. Hey, thanks for your time today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks a lot for having me, and have a great 2017.
You
look
too.
Forward to chatting soon.
Okay, thanks, Ken. Bye-bye. Cute. Adorable, man. He's adorable. That's Ken Hevitt. Yeah, you know, you got to save your pennies. One of my fondest memories of childhood was rolling pennies. She was a next-door neighbor. No, I'm only kidding. It would be a rainy day outside, and you couldn't go out and play with your friends if you had them. And I'd probably be like about 10 years old or something, and the bank used to give us penny wrappers. Now, these wouldn't be people who were wrapping named Penny. These would be these wrappers that you'd take your pennies and your coins, and you would make them into separate piles, the pennies in this pile, the quarters in this pile. And for a kid, this was like their entire life savings. This is all the kids had at this age. And I would just sit on the floor by myself on the carpet, and I would get out these penny wrappers and take 100 pennies. I think there are 50 pennies that you fit into one of these wrappers. I'm not sure. I can't remember. And you would drop them in there, and then you bring them down to the bank with your mother, because you can't drive because you're only 10 years old. and the bank's further than a couple of blocks away. So your mother would drive you. Father wouldn't do it. Mother would. And go to the bank, and I'd walk up to the counter, and I could just about reach the top of the counter. And the guy behind, it was a guy back then, he would give me like $10. And to me, this was like I was rich. I own the world now. I had $10 in rolled coins. I own the world. I can buy boats and yachts and houses and castles because I had $10. And I could have any candy that they make in the whole universe, even Mars, even in the Milky Way. And because I had $10. And rainy days to me was the opportunity to roll the coins and to have my mother drive me down to the bank, because the bank was open in the rain. That's good. And I was told by my parents, never touch your savings account, because if you don't, that'll earn interest week after week, month after month, year after year. And if you don't touch it, by the time you graduate from high school, you'll be a millionaire. And back then, the interest rates were so good that you really did make a lot of money if you didn't touch it. That's not the way it is anymore. That's an unfortunate part of our economy for quite some time now, that your money doesn't grow. You have to do things with it. You have to take some chances. You have to invest them in a little thing, a 401k, a 602w, a 119c. I'm just making stuff up. But savings accounts, having your kids just leave their money in a savings account and watching the money grow, no more. Bye-bye. Not happening. And that's sad. That's sad because as a child, it was the one thing that gave me a little bit of, I didn't know much about finances, but I knew in the back of my mind from what my parents told me that my money just grows if you leave it alone. Very similar to oozing sores on your face. They'll heal if you don't pick at them. One of the sad things, but one of the happy things is I'm out of time. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another show. Please join me then. Until then, I wish you peace. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.